flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
On top by three. Butler trying to stay close to Thompson, but not close enough. And hello, Winda!
Mavs get the victory last night. Nobody gets kicked out of the AAC. Life is good for the moment. How about that? We can catch our breath.
Nobody got kicked out of the AAC, but somebody did get their shirt taken off that I saw. They were wearing a Fire Nico shirt, and they were told to cover it up.
They're still doing that.
They're still doing that. They're not throwing people out. He was allowed to stay. He just had to cover the shirt.
All right. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. 877-881-1053. Sean and RJ back next week. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation. We got Bobby and Pepe. Carter Freeman got the Twitch and the YouTube going there on the fan cam. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll keep the kids to bed and the morning shows going all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when Kyrie Irving goes absolutely scorched and does the Steph Curry thing to Steph Curry. 40 plus points, no assists. He just said, "I'm going to be in bucket getting mode."
that's an old Kobe stat line. You remember when Kobe used to have the 48.1 assist games or whatever that he would get, like right after the Shaq trade when the Lakers were still struggling before they got the Pau Gasol, Lamar Odom era, like Lakers up and running. It's that same sort of thing. It's the hey, I got to do whatever I can. I'm not looking to pass the ball tonight. We just got to get buckets. We got to get points. And he did it. He came through. And he has been, I'll tell you what, somebody had said this last night that I saw. I can't remember who tweeted it. But they were like, he has been everything PR-wise during this last week that the Mavericks' actual like front office and PR team has failed at. That he's been nothing but, man, we understand the fans' pain, and we're all hurting here. That's my brother. We want to give fans space to do this, but we're going to still compete and play really hard. And they are, to their credit, that basketball team is playing hard right now. They are fighting and scrapping in every game.
No doubt about that. And Kyrie, after his performance last night, and he was making the interview rounds after the game, and then apparently there was a crowd of probably 100-plus people or whatever, right where the players go back into the locker room and they were all wanting autographs, and Kyrie stood around for a while and signed autographs and, you know, just fellowshipping with the Mavs fans. So he's certainly understanding what the task is right now.
He's been a model teammate ever since he got here. Everything, in fact, we were kicking this around yesterday a little bit. With as bad as they're showing themselves to be in terms of as a PR regime, this Mavericks front office, could you imagine if they had to deal with any of the standard Kyrie issues that existed before Dallas? How poorly they probably would have bungled those. If there's any chance that he's going to do anything off the court that could go sideways, I don't trust this organization to handle it right at all.
No, there's no reason to trust the organization, the ownership, the front office in any way at this moment. But I did want to play the sound of Jason Kidd before the game because, of course, before or after the game the other night, he decided not to do his post-game press conference, and so everybody was kind of wondering what the deal was. Well, here was Jason Kidd before the game last night.
me just clear up the air a little bit about the post meeting. Just understanding a lot goes on. I felt bad. I was like, thank you for your grace and the NBA for their grace of the situation. We lost a tough game. We lost another player. So I just needed some time to regroup and refocus and figure out how to put these pieces back together. So I want to thank you.
Okay. I mean, what are
you? I love how mellow he is all the time.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, could you imagine a conversation between Jason Kidd, Chris Arnold, and Nico Harrison? Would it just sound like one guy talking to himself?
Yeah, just the softest voices you've ever heard. Somebody texting in about Omax and how he was looking pretty good last night, and the future is bright there for sure, and that's what you're grasping onto right now as a Mavs fan, but he definitely had some really, really nice moments. And in general, the Mavericks super shorthanded last night, and they get crushed on the boards, but the three ball was working in a big way. And of course, Kyrie, I mean, 15 of 25 from the field, five of five from the free throw line, had some big ones. So it was important. Klay Thompson, I mean, only 6 of 19 from the field, not great, but that's a guy that you just need shooting as much as possible. Needed every single one of those 17 points from him last night.
Yeah, and shot well early in the game, like put up buckets early in the game and kept you in it. And so that's a positive. But yeah, last night was all about Kyrie.
So, and they're not kicking people out, but they are making you cover up your Fire Nico shirts. They're taking away signs. According to the Tolos on the text right now, some signs that were still taken away last night. So they're trying to muzzle you and your negativity as much as possible. And I really liked this excerpt from Ralph Strangis, who his
Stars announcer.
Yes. In his, I believe it's his Substack. He is like personally offended by what is going on. Like he just feels like a Mavs fan right now. And he's talking about Dumont and the ownership group. And he says, with Dumont, he's not used to having to confront the people he's screwing or working with up close and personal. He's a business guy. He's not used to dealing with fans. He's like, in the financial industry, customers are numbers on spreadsheets. Bleep them. Take the money and run. In this world, your customers are living and breathing human beings. In this world, you have to see and interact with them. In this world, you have a lot of minimum wage people working at the arena that you see every day. People you need in your corner. People who give you their loyalty freely because you're the owner of their favorite basketball team and they are professionals with jobs to do. And what do? You use your employees as shields and you hide from the very people that are the core of your business and help pay your bills. What kind of people do this? I'll tell you who. People who have no business owning and operating an NBA franchise. Just absolutely crushed them on that.
But he's right.
He nailed it.
He's right. It's been so poorly handled. And I mean, we've seen, we talk about in general just the heavy-handed approach that they've chosen to use. Joe Trahan from WFAA, he had tweeted this yesterday, said that the Mavs have, we talk about the signs being taken, it says the Mavs have slightly modified how they will handle fan unrest at tonight's game. A Mavericks source tells me that signs at tonight's game that are too big or defamatory will still be confiscated per NBA code of conduct, but fans will not necessarily be ejected. I do like necessarily. Like, you remember when Dak was talking about, I don't have to be the highest paid necessarily. It's like, all right, well, what is necessarily? Yeah, there you go. Peyton's got it. Yeah. I don't have to be the highest paid necessarily. Same sort of thing. Fans with them will not necessarily be ejected. And so, okay, that's a start. You're still just take it. Let the, as Choppy talked about yesterday, let the unrest just occur. Let guys and gals have their moment to just be upset. You gave them no lead up time to this. They couldn't get any sort of sense that Luka was about to be traded. So they're dealing with it in real time. Let them deal with it and then get past the fervor, get past the anger. And that'll be quick. That'll be a quicker way to have this all die down than if you stop it down and try to muzzle it and shut them up. That's only going to piss people off more.
Yeah, I felt like it was one of those things where just let them vent a little bit, let the fan base vent, and then this can all move away much quicker.
When you're when you get into a fight with the missus, I don't know about you. When I do, she'll say sometimes she'll be like, I don't want to. She's like, just give me a minute, to just like cool off before we deal with this. Same sort of thing. Give the fans a minute. Just give them a minute to get their anger out, get their frustration out. And then deal with it and try to pitch them on this in the future. Right now is not the time to go, like, you know, basically scold them for their reaction to it. It's not the time to essentially joke in press conferences about, I was, you know, we're just having coffee. And I was like, do you want Luca? Like I was playing you the clip during the break of this podcast where they do this bit called Sports Gossip, where the guy tries to explain sports to his girlfriend. And the way he's joking about it, he's best around, he's like, it's like they were sitting over coffee. It was just like, do you want Luca? I'm kind of tired of his fat ass. Do you want to? And like, yeah. It's funny, but that's kind of how it feels like they've pushed it. And fans weren't ready for that. Let them get their time. Let them get their time to breathe and figure it out. And then try to sell them on, all right, here's why I think this is right.
There's apparently at least one, if not a few, local Dallas coffee shops that are trying to sort of clear their name a little bit. I don't know if you guys saw this, but they put these little these little stickers on their coffee tables that just simply read, Luca was not traded here.
Oh, my gosh. The barista notes we talked about?
Yes.
How good would it be if, like, I served Nico? Like, yeah. You just signed that on the cup.
Fire Nico. You just put Fire Nico.
Fire Nico on the cup.
Fire Nico on the cup would be pretty cool. But a sticker that reads Luca was not traded here is on every single table at least one Dallas coffee shop trying to distance themselves from the disaster.
It's smart.
Luca actually played for the Lakers once again last night.
George is going to be in the Rising Stars Challenge. Luca kind of goes. Go ahead and count it. And one for number 77.
Ooh, how big did they win?
They actually got they got smacked around pretty good.
Ooh.
131 to 119. The Lakers lose, and Luka had some highlight moments for sure. He was not very efficient from the field. Only 16 points. He was a minus 19 in the plus minus. But he had a couple of moments, and the free throws. I mean, only one of five from the free throw line. That was one of the few things where you're like, yeah, that actually needs to get better, Luca. We do need that to get better. But he had one of those ridiculous passes,
yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, I do miss that. But the Lakers were awful last night, and he was not very good either.
Five turnovers, five fouls, four missed free throws in 23 minutes. So that's not necessarily awesome. But we've seen Luca for long enough. We know those games pop up from time to time. Especially he's rusty, still getting back. But man, the entire I was listening this morning driving in. I had a old M&P on, Maggie and Perloff, and I tried to hear they were trying to pitch it as, oh, you saw what happened, Luke, in the condition. Maybe they were joking, but they were pitching it serious. You saw what happened, Luke, in the condition gets up to that higher altitude in Utah, and he was not playing very well last night. I'm like. God, will you stop?
I kind of like that.
No!
I like that.
Anybody
who's been in the altitude that's not used to it and is a little bit out of shape, you can understand how that can be taxing. And this is only what? Like, this is his second game?
Yeah, and the other one was in L.A. Like, I mean, so he's either dealing with high altitude or smoke inhalation. It's just, it's a lot to have to play with.
Just in general right now, trying to get things. It's always tough when you're trying to fit in with a new team, the superstar stuff. I mean, we saw how difficult it was for Luka and Kyrie after the Mavs traded for Kyrie. That the rest of that season was awful. And they were playing hot potato at the end of games for who's going to take the shot and the buzzer's going off before the ball's even left one of their hands.
Oh, and Kyrie and Luka are different. Like, those are different basketball players. LeBron and Luka are so similar in terms of the way that they're ball dominant and the way that they kind of, you know, operate on the basketball court. Obviously, different players, like, when you drill down on it. But on the surface, very similar ball dominant type of players that's going to take even more time, I would assume, to get that correct and for everybody to kind of settle into their rhythm.
Wow, I love this. The 214 said he met the coffin guy at the Mavs protest, and he says that he bought it through overnight shipping the night before. So you can overnight a casket. I was wondering, like, who has just a handy casket? I guess you could expedite that thing and have it by breakfast time.
You can get a casket overnighted, and you can't get Marion's Valentine's Day gift guaranteed here.
Yeah, that's
in 2 days.
Well, you don't want to buy your coffin on Instagram. That's what you don't want to do.
That's the problem.
Brian Windhorst says that Kevin Durant is probably going to get traded this summer. He knows it. The Suns know it, and the rest of the NBA knows it. I wonder how involved the Mavericks are going to be at that point. Are we looking to Kyrie, KD, AD, and I guess I mean, the rest of these young Bucks, I'm assuming Klay Thompson will still be around, but I mean, KD, does that fire you up? He was nasty last night.
No, it doesn't, because I mean, it's still an aging group at that point. I don't know.
You're still in like a 1 or 2 year window.
Yeah, nothing. Again, we've said this a lot. Nothing's going to make this better. Like it's always going to suck. And so it's just they're going to try and, you know, scrap together as much positivity as they can. I imagine he's going to be a big target for the Mavericks this offseason. That they'll want to try to be in on that, I would guess, because Nico clearly wanted to be in on it on the deadline.
Wow. Shout out to Great Tolo D, who just tagged us on Twitter. There was a video of a lady sitting courtside last night that had a trade Nico sweatshirt on.
D is one of our best tolos. She's always like, she's basically a better producer than Peyton.
That goes without saying. The trade, maybe trade Nico is less offensive as fire him.
Yeah,
because I'm wondering why they let that slip through the cracks.
You're not asking for him to be
in Nico.
You're not asking for him to be unemployed. You're just asking for somebody else to pay him.
All right, let's hit the expressway commercial free to the top of the hour. Bobby's got a neighborhood watch for us. We have a ticket giveaway as well, and let's talk a little Cowboys. Closer to contending or closer to being in a full-on rebuild right now? 877-881-1053. That's next right here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go commercial-free, expressway style to the top of the hour. We have a Neighborhood Watch with Bobby Belt coming up here in a few minutes. Sean and RJ back next week. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation. You just heard the promo right there. This Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., grand opening fan appearance at the brand new Dallas location of Hurtado Barbecue, 900 South Harwood Street. And we cannot wait to see you there. We're going to be having a great time eating the best barbecue. And we're recording a Love of the Star podcast.
Well, which is not, an oddity, not we.
Odyssey podcast.
Not we. We're not.
No.
You guys are.
That's true. We being me and Walchuk and Broadus.
I was fired.
You did get pink slipped.
Yeah, I did. You guys.
I felt bad for you until I got the notification that I was going to get in the mix. And I was like, okay.
You're like, oh, sweet.
This was a good decision.
Screw Bob. Yeah. I will be there at Hurtado.
Oh, you're coming? Good.
Yeah, I'm going to be wearing a Fire Walchuk Fire Chio shirt. And so hopefully they don't throw me out. But no, I did. I talked to our buddy Scott Long, and he was telling me, he's like, you going to come out to Hurtado? I was like, I will be there. I'm going to be hanging out, so I'll be there to heckle you guys while you try to do your broadcast.
Good.
You guys went and traded. Actually, you guys made the AD trade. Like, you guys, Love the Star traded AD for Luka. I wasn't even really AD. I was more the first round pick in 2031, which is like some French player that'll never see the court.
That's right. Well, I'm glad you're going to be at Hurtado on Saturday. It's going to be great. 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Let's have ourselves a great Saturday morning/afternoon. Okay, so NFL overhaul tiers. Who's contending? Who's rebuilding? Who's sort of in the middle? This is put together by ESPN, and they have a handful of different opportunities that you think you could find yourself in for all 32 NFL teams. Major contenders on the cusp, need a postseason breakthrough. Teetering contenders, headed on the right track, or stuck in the middle, but a move or two away. And then you have some bottom of the barrel, rebuilding, still rebuilding, stuck in QB purgatory. The Cowboys could land in a couple of these. I'd argue.
I'd love to know which ones you think, because you're going to hit me with QB purgatory, aren't you?
I think QB purgatory is a fair place to put the Cowboys right now. Paying a lot of money for just an okay quarterback who is now going to be immobile and is off just an awful, awful season.
Where do you, I've never asked you this question directly. Where do you think he is in the top? He's a top what quarterback to you?
I would have always said top 10.
Okay.
Closer to 10 than 5. He's always probably in that, maybe at best 8.
But then to say like you're paying an okay quarterback, wouldn't you say a top 10 quarterback is better than okay?
After the season that I don't know if he's top 10 now. After the season he just had, and I know it was small sample, but now he's got another injury.
Yeah.
And you're seeing mobile quarterbacks. I mean, what did you just see in the conference championship games? Mobile quarterbacks. Hurts, yeah. Daniels, Mahomes, Allen.
Running back, yeah.
Yeah, well, some of them are running quarterbacks, but they're all at least mobile. I don't think you have that with Dak anymore.
You saw and that.
It's not to say that you can't put a great offensive line around him and a good plan. And a good defense to go be out there and get the best out of him. I don't think he's just going to fall off a cliff necessarily, but you are way overpaying your quarterback now.
By the way, I should clarify really briefly. Christina Massey on the YouTube says, Bobby, you don't have to be ugly. I'm kidding. I'm not really going to show up with Fire Eric and Zach shirts to Hurtado on Saturday. I did not get fired. Brian and I, our schedules didn't work. It's okay, Christina. I'm just joking.
No, we're talking about the two most busy people at the station between Bobby and Broadus. Broadus is talking into a microphone every second of the day. And Bobby, he's doing the morning show. He's got insider duties.
I got a nap.
He's got a nap and stuff.
A lot of sleeping that comes into play.
He's got to get on his wife's nerves and stuff. Oh, and
I didn't know where that was going at first.
No, we're keeping it nice and chill.
Yeah, kids are getting dropped off right now.
And Sean and RJ, they will be back next week. RJ's got his father's funeral, and Sean is on a beach somewhere, just soaking in the warm weather.
Yeah,
having himself a good time. I think stuck in QB purgatory when I first saw this. I'm like, are they really going to put the Cowboys in there? Now they have too much deference to Dak and just the body of work to say that he's still, I guess, good. And that's not unfair to say, but it is a huge question right now. What version of Dak are we going to be getting over the next 4 years while he's being paid an astronomical number?
So I'm going to guess where the Cowboys fall on this one. Are you going to go down to each tier and then list off the teams, or are you just going to jump straight to the Cowboys?
Yeah, we can list them off.
I'm going to anticipate that based on these, you had still major contenders on the cusp, need a postseason breakthrough, teetering contenders, headed on the right track, stuck in the middle, but a move or two away, stuck in QB purgatory, and then some others down there. I'm going to guess, there's also, this could go either way. I'm going to guess they put them at stuck in the middle, but a move or two away, and now we'll just see who all's in which tier. That's where I would guess they put the Cowboys.
Well, your major contenders, you got the Chiefs and the Eagles, of course. On the cusp, you have the Ravens and the Bills, the Lions.
Are you surprised that the Ravens are tied for the best odds to win the Super Bowl next year with the Chiefs?
A little bit, but the Ravens have been so dominant in these regular seasons that, and the Ravens are just a good organization. They're always sort of right there in the mix. So I get it, but trusting them to actually complete a clean sweep postseason is unlikely.
I just don't know why you'd have them ahead of Philly or Detroit.
Yeah, I would have both of those teams ahead of. I mean, especially because just the AFC going through. I mean, what Buffalo and Kansas City. Having to go through both of those teams. If you're Baltimore, that's a nightmare challenge. And then we'll see what Cincinnati's able to do with a fair amount of cap space and shaking some things up a little bit. Can they rebuild the defense? You know how good the offense is. So, and just the AFC North division, very, very difficult. So I get it. The talent is there, but I would not trust Baltimore in a postseason. You just had healthy Lamar Jackson. How many years have we seen a healthy Lamar Jackson in the postseason?
Right.
You just got that. And he had Derrick Henry, and their defense was playing fantastic, and you still couldn't get it done. Need a postseason breakthrough. That's going to be the Packers, the Vikings. Then you're going to get to teetering contenders. That's the Bengals and the Steelers and the Texans.
Okay.
Still haven't seen the Cowboys yet. Headed on the right track. That's the Broncos and the Chargers, the Rams and the Bucks. Also the Seahawks and the Commanders.
Is this a little unfair to have the Commanders down here? Shouldn't they be teetering contenders coming off of an NFC title game?
You could make that argument for sure.
Or a Nita post. Like, I don't know. It seems like to lump the Commanders in with Seattle and, you know, Tampa and teams that, like, I mean, a Seattle team that didn't make the playoffs, that just seems a little disingenuous to me.
Yeah, I have bigger issues with the Seahawks being in that category as opposed to the Commanders. I understand a one-year snapshot. You just saw what happened to C.J. Stroud and the Texans after an awesome rookie year, and I don't anticipate that type of fall off from Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, but it is Cliff Kingsbury, and we've seen his offenses be extremely volatile. I do have a ton of respect and admiration, though, for Jaden Daniels and the type of player that he is.
Yeah.
And the Commanders are, I mean, they have a ton of cap space again to go fill out needs on the roster, get that defense headed in the right direction. So I do think the Commanders are kind of right in that mix there.
And they built a hell of a coaching staff, and they didn't get it picked over at all during this hiring cycle. Like they managed to maintain Cliff Kingsbury here, and, you know, they were able to maintain Joe Witt. They didn't lose him. Like, they ended up building a really strong staff around this group. Their continuity is, it's not often that you see them able to, a team who ascends like that, able to retain everybody like they did.
Stuck in the middle, but a move or two away. That's the Falcons and the Cowboys. You nailed it, Bob.
Nailed it.
So the Cowboys, obviously 7-10 last year. Cowboys need to get their edge back in a hurry. The NFC East now is looking extremely formidable with the Commanders and the Eagles. You have the big decision with Micah. Do you give him the market-setting deal? They say re-signing Osa should be a priority. I know you feel the same way. To me, if you're going to pay big money for a defensive tackle, you want to do it for one of these free agents, why would you not go take Milton Williams from
Crowley
from
guy.
Filthy?
Crowley guy. Yeah, and he was
local dude. He was a monster in the Super Bowl, monster in the NFC Championship game, and the second half of the season was really a monster in every game. I would rather have him than Osa. If you're going to pay close to $20 million a year for an interior defensive lineman, and it's hugely important for the Eberflus defense.
Yeah, I mean, he has said the three technique defensive tackle is the most important position on his team.
And the NFL is telling you that over the last few years, like these stud defensive tackles, one tech or three tech, are getting, they're getting the fatty boomba. So if you're going to pass that thing around, I would. Osa's not a game changer. He's not a game wrecker. He had some nice games this year versus awful offensive lines, like in games that don't matter. I want a guy that's going to actually play his best versus the best in games that matter. And to me, that was Milton Williams.
Are you a low key Osa hater?
No, I'm not an Osa hater. I just think that there's a huge difference between, hey, it's been fun, you know, having you on your rookie contract. Solid, but there is better out there. This would be an instance of the Cowboys saying, we're going to pay big money to a guy that's ours just because he's ours, even though there's something better out there. And that thing better is Milton Williams.
Do you think Osa is do you think Osa's tapped? Like, do you think he's maxed out?
I do.
Yeah. So you don't think that there's, because I look at Osa as a guy who I think has potential to go further. And I think Milton Williams does too. I'm not saying Milton Williams, but I'm just saying when you look at Osa, are you saying that you think that's all you're getting out of him if you resign him is what you've gotten from the last 2 years or so?
Yeah, I really do. And he's been with really, really good defenses. He's playing with Micah Parsons, who commands a ton of attention. And he's still not, again, like a game breaker. I don't think you're putting Osa in the Super Bowl and he's coming away with two sacks and a forced fumble.
I thought he did have a bordering on, I don't think he was there, but I thought he was bordering on a Pro Bowl season in terms of the way that he wrecked games for them consistently. And I mean, even like the Giants game, like there have been times during his career where the Giants game last year, the first one that they played, he took up so many double teams and so much pressure that he was the one that was freeing guys up. So I like Osa. There's definitely a point where you say, well, we're not going to pay that. But to me, I don't think it's, I think Milton Williams is going to make significantly more on the market than Osa.
Okay.
And so I don't think it's going to be close enough that, like, I mean, if it's $5 million difference, do you say, well, that's close enough for me? Maybe you do. But
per year?
Yeah.
Per year, that's quite a bit.
So, I mean, I don't know. It may be $3 to $5 million more a year for Milton Williams.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I guess I will understand. But assuming the money is pretty equal, I would just rather have Milton Williams I think he's a better player.
Probably is.
And a better run defender.
Probably is a better player. What would you, when you look at, by the way, I think they were both the 73rd overall pick in the third round, both Milton Williams and Osa Odighizuwa.
It's beautiful.
When you look at the way that Osa plays and you're talking about that you want to go after the better player, Milton Williams, what's the dollar figure for you per year that you say, that's too rich for my blood, I'm out on Osa? Like, would you be willing to go to 15 a year?
That would probably be...
That's like right at your max line?
Yeah, that would probably be the cutoff.
That's fair. I mean, and I think that may be about where he ends up.
Now, don't get me wrong. The Cowboys have put themselves in a tough place where Osa is still a talented dude. And if you're going to let him walk out, who are you replacing him with?
Yeah, you don't think he's a bad player.
Sure, yeah. Sure. It's just I think you're going to end up probably paying close to great money for just a good player. And so the Cowboys are in that weird space right now. They're trying to, you know, find ways to save as much money as possible. They do note that if they want to remodel the secondary a little bit, you could release Donovan Wilson and Malik Hooker, and you would save almost $10 million in cap space. To me, I mean, it's another tough deal because I don't want to watch those guys play football anymore with a Cowboys uniform on. But again, you're going to have to go and replace these guys. But I think $10 million, I'd rather have $10 million in cap space than Donovan Wilson and Malik Hooker roaming my secondary.
So there's a little bit of an issue specifically with Donovan Wilson. Matt Eberflus has typically, like Marinelli and others, hey, safeties are kind of interchangeable and that they want guys who can kind of do both. Donovan Wilson can't do both. Like he can't be a coverage safety and a box safety. He's kind of a box guy. I do think there's a role for Malik Hooker. If I mean, they may say they want the cap space more, but I do think that there is a spot for Malik Hooker as a guy who can play a little more interchangeably than Donovan Wilson can. So if you're just talking about personnel and making Eberflus's scheme work, then I think that there's at least more of an argument to be made that Hooker returning would make some sense. Wilson, I get it. You might be limited there.
Okay. All right, we have a college baseball ticket giveaway coming up here in just a few minutes before Neighborhood Watch, but here's Bobby with, I guess this is just like a funny story.
No, this is not just a funny story. Mike Vanderjagt, former Cowboys kicking great.
The drunk kicker that Peyton Manning used to reference, right?
Yeah, and the
idiot,
one,
idiot drunk kicker or something like that.
The one who shanked the field goal against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Mike Vanderjagt, there's a profile piece on him over at The Athletic, and he is one of the funniest players in the history of the NFL, unintentionally so. Boy, the Colts have a history of just the loudest specialists of all time between Pat McAfee and Mike Vanderjagt.
One's likable, the other one not.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Vanderjagt, I wish we had him in this social media era. I wish he was playing. He released, I remember he got signed by the Cowboys the same offseason as Terrell Owens. And he had this website that, and I was looking everywhere for the video yesterday. It doesn't exist. It's from 20 years ago. But he had this stylized hype video of himself when you would go to his website. And when he signed with the Cowboys, it was one of the most unintentionally funny things I'd ever seen in my life. And he was going like, he's like slow-mo walking with like the Dallas skyline behind him. And you hear his voiceover come on. He's like, when you think of the greats, who do you think of? Tom Landry, Troy Aikman, Terrell Owens, me. He's like, it just made sense to become a Dallas Cowboy.
So he's being serious. He's not. This isn't like a parody.
And then
bit.
I mean, it feels like it should be, but he was just that guy. He was so full of himself, and it's so nice to know that he is still super salty and is still a total douche, and how it's led to him being essentially ignored by the Indianapolis Colts. So this article over at The Athletic is called Mike Vanderjagt Was Money for the Colts, But One Big Playoff Miss Changed Things Forever. And this is the article. It says, he wore spandex sleeves, highlights in his hair, and a diamond stud in his ear. He once called himself the best kicker in history. I will say he did not call himself that once. He called himself routinely, still does, and had the numbers to back it up. Before games, he used to slip a dollar bill under his wristband. Because that was money, Mike Vanderjagt says.
Money, Mike Vanderjagt.
He'd chirp at coaches on the practice field. Left half or right half? Because simply splitting the uprights for an hour straight was too easy. Boring, he called it. As a soccer phenom, he nearly made the Canadian under-18 national team. As a quarterback, he earned a scholarship to Michigan State. As a kicker, he was cut 3 times in the CFL and once in the Arena League. Then he landed a tryout with the Indianapolis Colts and stayed 8 years. He married a Colts cheerleader. He got a Colts tattoo on his left shoulder. He lit up reporters' microphones with sound bites that stirred headlines and sometimes got him in hot water. Once, in the days before a divisional playoff game, Vanderjagt called the mid-dynasty Patriots ripe for the picking. Why are you even going to the kicker to ask him about, like, how vulnerable is Tom Brady today?
I feel like I would have a mandate if I was running a team. Like, my kicker's never speaking. You should never hear the sound of my kicker's voice. You should assume our kicker is mute. He cannot speak. Go kick the football, dude.
Brandon Aubrey, when we sat with him in Super Bowl, first time I ever heard his voice. We're right there. Not really. But it's one of those things where
basically
when he started talking, I was like, I don't hear his voice enough to know like what he's about to sound like. Like, it's so infrequent. Whereas Zach Martin, I know exactly what Zach Martin sounds like. Famously, he went on a radio show and questioned his quarterback's mettle and his coach Tony Dungy's fire. So he's like doing radio interviews being like, I don't know if this Peyton guy's got it. And Tony Dungy seems a little too mild-mannered. But you can get away with that when you're the best in the league. And in the early 2000s, Vanderjagt was clutch and cocky and unapologetic about it. He led the NFL in scoring in 1999. 4 years later, he was the first kicker in history to finish a full season without a miss. 83 of 83 on field goals and extra points. He used to taunt the opposing sideline before game winners, rubbing his thumb over his index finger. Why? Because he was money. Remember, that's his big thing. He was money. Well, now he is a bitter man. Vanderjagt today has no relationship with the team he left as its all-time leading scorer. This is the article over at The Athletic that was making me cackle. Let's be honest, he says. Clearly, I should be in the Ring of Honor. But he's not, and he's never going to be. And plenty of it has to do with one afternoon in January 2006. Vanderjagt still tells his son, whatever you do, don't be a kicker. Because no matter how good you are, they'll only ever remember you for the ones you miss. He's still, to this day, this article talks about him being so bitter. He said, I had a lot more to offer than just being a kicker. That's just how I feel. Talks about how he was just a locker room presence, a big marketing brand. But he's still, his kid who plays football now, he's in his ear apparently all the time with his bitterness of just telling him, like, don't ever be a kicker. They'll never love you. And just still sitting there 20 years later, pissed off at the world and still cocky as ever. This dude, I want to see McAfee interview him. I want to see McAfee sit down with Vanderjagt.
I'm here for that.
As a high school senior in Ontario, he averaged 31 points a game on the basketball court. And he notes that was without a 3-point line. This dude is, in hindsight, he talks about, he said he was on the soccer field. He was one of the best young goalies in Canada, the last cut of an under-18 national team. At one point, his mom weighed sending him to Europe to train. In hindsight, I wish she had, he says. Vanderjagt believes he would have made it and been a lot happier than he was in the NFL. I do like that he's talking about average 31 a game without the 3-point line, and then his whole career became 3-pointers.
Yeah,
as the field goal kicker. But anyway, this is I'm going to post this on the website because it reads like a parody article. Everything Vanderjagt says and did was always a parody article, and this one was cracking me up like reading it over again. I cannot believe the dude wore sweatbands on his wrist as a kicker just so he could tuck dollar bills in there to remind everyone that he was money.
I would encourage everyone to go to YouTube and rewatch that kick versus the Steelers in the playoff game in the dome. And it is as bad of a kick as you'll ever see from a supposed professional. Okay, top of the hour, we will get into the Kyrie conspiracy neighborhood watch around the corner. But right now, Peyton, it's time for a college baseball ticket giveaway.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call at number 10 right now at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to the College Baseball Showcase at Globe Life Field in Arlington on Friday, February 21st through the 23rd. That's call at number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, thank you, Peyton. Now it's time for Neighborhood Watch.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
Oh, baby, do we have some serious DFW media beef? Or maybe it's all in good fun. I don't know. I'm going to let you guys be the judge. And some of you may have a better idea of this than I do. Before we get into that, I've got to give a shout out. Keller Softball is back, baby. They are, of course, the official softball team of the morning show. And guess what? They are 1-0 now, including 1-0 in district. And do you know why that is, Eric Chiafalo?
Because they scored more points than the opponent.
Yeah. Do you know who that opponent was?
I'm usually really buttoned up on the Keller softball schedule.
You really are. You've been to games. You've been out there. You went to a big-time divisional game against Southlake.
The Lucas stuff has had me so down bad, I got a couple blind spots.
They beat the hell out of one Northwest High School. Now who is the most famous alum to come out of Northwest High School, Eric Chiafalo?
I think it's Mark Folliwell.
Who else?
There was a long snapper for the Steelers
station,
in the Super
Bowl. Who is it?
I did go to Northwest.
Texans. A Northwest High School alum, 10-0, got smoked. That's basically, you got run ruled almost, it looks like here. But Monday, Keller softball got underway. Shout out to the great folks over there.
My Lady Texans got smashed.
They
just
did.
Completely dominated.
Dude, just handle. Look, we love Northwest. Just like, look, I know there's still some people at Denton Geyer who are not thrilled with me for some of my my Nico-like taunts from last year during the playoff run. It was all in good fun. I'm like Shippy. I love all these teams, okay? Everybody, I'm DFW to the core. I support everybody. But Keller is the official softball team of the morning show here. Great folks over there. Chad Cribbs, the coach, Jessica Pauls, who invited us out there initially when you and I went and saw the Southlake game. The Southlake folks were great to us out there. They had somebody hand me a shirt for Southlake heading out of there. But Keller is our group. Those are our people. And so shout out to Keller bouncing back in a big way. Especially with Sadie Beck going off to Tarleton State. I saw she was pitching her first game at Tarleton the other day. So I got all these connections. Keller, Tarleton, it's all, my worlds are colliding here, Chief Follow.
Northwest Texans 817 mentioning Dustin May.
Yeah, but Dustin May does not work at our station.
No, but I do think he's in the running for...
For sure. For sure. I was just clearly trying to say it was your school and I was trying to mock you for it.
I guess we were the tune-up game. You always want to start the season with a lowly opponent just to get that confidence up and Keller used the Texans.
Look, I love the great people of Northwest, like I say. I love Eric Chiafalo. So it's just you got in the way of the buzzsaw, the Keller buzzsaw. It happens. That's the great thing about being homeschooled too, Eric, is that I can claim any team as my own. I can claim any school as my own. Yes. All right, Cynthia Izaguirre. You know her? You familiar with her?
Yeah, WFAA.
WFAA anchor. All right, so somebody is going to have to let me know on the fan text because oftentimes the 10 o'clock news, I'm asleep. I'm in bed already or just I don't have the news on consistently. Well, the other night, Tuesday night, we were getting ready for, I knew there were going to be storms Wednesday morning. So I opened up YouTube TV and I DVR all the local newscasts because I want to go back and watch things for Neighborhood Watch or other things like that. So I went over to the WFAA. I was like, all right, let me go to their weather report. I'll see what Delcus is saying. Rain's going to be like in the morning. And I rewound it to the weather section. And I saw a very tense interaction that I'm having trouble, maybe because I don't drop in on it enough. I don't know the context of their relationship. But I want to play this and I want to break it down a little bit. This is Cynthia Izaguirre. That didn't come out right. Cynthia Izaguirre. Don't even laugh. Like
hey, you're doing your best over there.
I'm trying. This is Cynthia. Cynthia was talking, and they're leading in. They're about to pitch it over to the news or to the weather for Pete Delcus. And she kind of delays the start of his weather report to give a shout out to somebody at the station for giving her like an itinerary when she visits Houston. Play this clip, Peyton. I'm probably going to stop it in between just to kind of get to a reset point. But this was Cynthia slowing down or delaying Pete Delcus's weather report.
Speaking of traveling, I want to give a shout out to Jason Whiteley. I'm planning a trip to Houston to go to NASA and, you know, read all about it and see all about it. And he really put together a really nice itinerary for me.
Haven't you lived here your whole life?
Not in Houston. You've he lived in Houston, huh?
You've never been to Houston?
Well, I've been there a couple times, to explore.
Okay, I got it. Okay. I thought it was going on. I thought you meant for the first time. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
But yeah, so thanks, Jason.
Because he lived there for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, pause it there. During this whole thing, Delcus looks like he's about to talk. Like, all right, let's get to my weather. So in news, when you delay something by 30 seconds, you're cutting into some time there.
Yeah, everything is, you got to be buttoned up.
So you see him, and I showed you the video. He looks a little frustrated, kind of like, okay, come on, let's start my weather report here. What I need the listeners to explain to me, if they're familiar with the WFAA newscast at night, is this fun banter that they normally have, which you're about to hear from Delcus. Because Delcus seems to take the delay a little personally.
Haley Joy is our producer. Haley, I want you to know that none of this, she could have done this in a text or a phone call to Jason or talked to him up in the newsroom. So my time starts right now. Let me show you what's happening out
weather.
There.
Yeah.
I tell you, just the random stuff that comes out of her mouth. Grand Prairie, 1.25 inches. I was at this event today at the Dallas Women's Club, and I had so many people ask me, do you actually like Cynthia?
No.
And I, of course I do. I said, she has just this endearing quality. I'm still looking for it. But yes, of course I like Cynthia. What I told some of the ladies today was, you wouldn't believe what she says to me during a commercial break. I'm certain that her pastor would not be happy about that, but I have a forgiving heart.
Okay.
Wow.
So, There were like three digs there. He goes, the random stuff that comes out of her mouth. And then he starts doing his weather report. And then he stops back and he goes, you know, I was asked about her today. Yes, do you really like her? I go, of course. She has a redeeming quality. I'm still looking for it. And then he comes back. He starts reading again. And then he comes back and goes, you know what? By the way, you should hear what she says to me. Pastor wouldn't love it, but I'm more forgiving. Does it sound serious or is that just quality ball busting?
I'm gonna lean quality ball busting here. I'm assuming that they have a fantastic relationship, and whenever you are really, really good friends with somebody, then usually the better friend you are with someone, the more ball busting goes on.
So this is a great point because I will always say whenever somebody's like, oh, Bobby was being a D to me or whatever else, and they're like, I don't know that he likes me. The way you can tell I don't like you is if I don't have any playful interaction with you at all. If it is always all just like, hey, how's it going? Like, or like totally serious, I I just don't get along with you, or I'm not a fan of you. When I start like playing with you or going like this guy, like that's usually we're boys. Like me sitting here, if I didn't like you, I wouldn't have referenced that you went to Northwest when we started this segment. So I assume this is just quality, friendly banter, friendly back and forth.
It's the same way you guys like to pick on Peyton.
Yeah.
It's because you absolutely love him.
But I actually do hate him. Like that's part of it. Because he plays the Nico drop.
That's right.
And different things like that. But
I mean, the texters are saying like they're always picking on Izzy. They are good friends. There's always high level banter all the time during the 10 p.m. news. So I would like to think that this is just some good friends having themselves a good time. And you know, Delkus
still
likes
a little
to get
uncomfortable for somebody just dropping in.
Sure, sure. An out of towner is like, wow.
And 469 says, I worked there. Yes, they're tight. They're the new Dale Pete transition. See, but I always felt like, even with the messing around with each other, I always felt like Dale Hansen and Pete Delkus did hate each other. Like that one, I felt like was real, that they don't. And there's a couple others here who say, I don't think they like each other. They pretend like they're joking around. But either way, I enjoyed it. It was funny. I just couldn't tell if it was serious or not. That's why I needed to find out with folks here if that was serious or not. All right, last minute before we wrap up Neighborhood Watch here. We've brought this up in a couple of different Thursday reports, Eric. Another North Texas spa is under investigation as it's being deemed a sexually oriented business.
Is this in Louisville again?
Nope. This is another one just all across DFW. This is in Trophy Club. On Wednesday, a search warrant was executed at... Not going to say the name of the spa because it's, again, we're going to have a Izzy Guerra situation on our hands here if I try to pronounce it.
Is it Orchids of Asia?
I can't pronounce whatever it is that we're looking at here. But
that was Robert Kraft's favorite spot.
Or I think I can pronounce it, but I'm not comfortable enough to say I certainly
Gather
know.
The foreigners.
I think I saw Justin Tugger in there one time.
God. Investigators with the Trophy Club Police Department, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and the Dallas Police Department uncovered evidence that this business and Trophy Club was operating actually as a sexually oriented establishment. So they were shut down. This is about, I think, in the last couple months since we've done like these reports talking about them on Thursdays. This is probably, I think we're in the range of like 20 of these that have been shut down. Spas or massage parlors or whatever else. Like
all local.
20 here in DFW just in the last 4 months.
It's rampant.
Dude, it's everywhere. And not that I'm looking for them, but whenever I drive by them, I'm not just like, that's an obvious one, right?
Yeah.
Do you have to know? or are they just like, yeah, you should, like we got a club. There's a subreddit for it that if you just know the subreddit, you can join and you can know where all these places are.
Yeah, so I mean, people will work to figure this out.
Hit us
out,
up on the fan text if you know these places.
Yeah. All right, 877-881-1053. Thank you, Bobby. Are you buying this Kyrie conspiracy after his dominant performance last night? And how would you like this name, big name receiver in a Cowboys uniform? That's next right here on the fan.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.